pay that man his money.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Fox Sports will be paying Tom Brady 10 years, $375 million.
Pay that man his money.
The Rich Eisen Show.
He's going in the booth. Did not see that coming. Tom Brady, and you could knock me over with a feather.
Earlier on the show, Ravens defensive end Calais Campbell, Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson, still to come, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Just went through the games in the schedule that I am looking forward to being scheduled the most. You know what I mean? It's always a difficult way to turn the phrase here, because we already know who plays who, and we know who plays who where. We just don't know the when and on what channel. And that schedule release show is going to be tomorrow night on NFL Network, unless all the NFL partners reveal their schedule before then. And we're just like, enough, okay? Can you just leave some? We're going to be working very hard for 3 hours tomorrow night. Just enough. Enough.
That's right. You might just have three games to.
Sorry.
Reveal. You might just have three games to reveal.
This is why I have my show, is I get to complain. Okay.
Air out your grievances.
It was a great chat with Doug Peterson last hour of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chris Brockman on the shelf. Susie, my wife, Susie Schuster, sitting in his chair once again. DJ Mikey D, as in D's Nuts, right there as well. Also, TJ Jefferson, good to see you in your position.
I don't think that's ever not going to be funny.
You know what? I mean, that's what Snoop Dogg said when he was here many, many moons ago. And that's something that you have all the time, right?
It's greatest drop of all time.
At any rate, 844-204 Rich is the number to dial. Susie's going to have a news update coming on, but I got to tell you, I'm genuinely excited for this next guest. And again, I'm not just saying that because he's on hold listening to me introduce him. I do not believe he has been on this program, and I am eager to chat with him because I love the way that he goes about his business and does his work. And he's one of the most successful head coaches in the NFL, certainly coming out of the gate in Green Bay with 13 win seasons every single time. He is on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
You got finally. It. Thank God. Well, listen, I've been knocking on the door. Just appreciated you answer this time. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's great to be on with you.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate that. So when you get the schedule tomorrow night, the first thing you look at will be what, Coach?
Well, there's a lot of things you look at, but I may or may not have gotten a sneak peek at the schedule, but not to tease anybody, but no, you're always kind of looking where you open up at, and whether it's home or on the road, and then just kind of any potential pitfalls, like in terms of that are out of the ordinary in the number of days to prepare for a game. So if we have 6 days in between a game or 5 days, obviously the Thursday night game, that's kind of what we look for.
So read me your schedule then. What do you got?
I think our PR guy would kill me.
Yeah, if you have a red light on your office phone, it might light up. I don't know. It could be one of those things. But what is your general sense though on when you like buys? I know that is something that is usually situationally dependent. Like if you, heaven forbid, have a significant amount of injuries, you want it right when you need it. But what's your general sense on that subject matter, Coach?
Well, if everything's going well, then I think you'd prefer it later in the season. But, you know, we've had the early bye before and we've had the late bye. And so I think you just got to be ready to adjust and adapt to whatever is given to you, just like you have to do on a weekly basis. I mean, we just show up and play. Basically, shut your mind off, show up and play.
Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you a different coach now than when you were just a few years ago, Matt?
Oh, I think in a lot of ways. I think just much more comfortable, you know, being out in front. I don't think that's necessarily my nature to want that. But, no, I just knowing what you believe in and also knowing the fact that we have so many great people around myself in this organization, you know, not only in the front office but other coaches, and then we've just the character of our football team is really outstanding, and that makes it much more fun to come to work each and every day.
And it just seems to me now, entering this fourth year, you tell me if I'm off. Feel free to do that. I hear that all the time anyway, but you tell me if I'm off here. So year one, your first time head coach coming in, replacing Mike McCarthy, and there's Aaron Rodgers, who's set in his ways, and we're all wondering if he can adapt to you and vice versa, right? And then you guys make the NFC Championship game, but then decide to draft Jordan Love. And me and the rest of the media world is asking, why would you antagonize your best player like that? And then that was year two with all of that and all the conversation. And year three, we all know going into it, we didn't know if Aaron was coming back. And now this seems to be just like quiet and normal for the first time for you in Green Bay. Is that a fair assessment right now for you?
Yeah, I would say this last off season has been the least amount of gray I've grown probably since I've been here. So the first two were definitely there was a lot of talk, and you know, we do our best to kind of block out the outside world anyways, but I think anytime you're in a situation where you don't know if your quarterback's coming back, that's a pretty big deal. Obviously, every year in this league is met with different challenges and different circumstances, and I mean, we got to adjust again this year because we lost a lot of great players that have helped produce a lot of wins here for the organization. I mean, you're talking about guys like Davante Adams and Za'Darius Smith, and as well as a few others, MVS. So, you know, we got to acclimate the new guys. We're really excited about our team, but bottom line is, everybody's excited this time of the year. You got to go in and you got to put the work in. You got to come together as a team and get better each and every day.
Well, I mean, we were all surprised that Rodgers signs back and then Davante Adams goes. And I'm wondering, what about you? Were you surprised about that sequence, Coach?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm not gonna blow smoke up your butt. I definitely was a little bit surprised how that whole thing transpired. I was optimistic that we could work something out, but at the end of the day, it didn't work out that way, and so you got to adjust and you got to move on.
So was there any point in time, because again, every head coach that's highly successful like you is a control freak. I mean, did you try and make calls, control it best you can to avoid that result, Coach?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You're always in communication with, you know, your best players, and not only your best players, but guys that you truly respect how they go about their work, and you know, Devontae's no different. Obviously, he's the best receiver in the game right now, in my opinion, and then I think he's a great person as well, and I love how he approaches the game and how he works, and he's a guy that I got a lot of respect for. So certainly, we tried to do our best to, you know, kind of remedy the situation, and just didn't go that way.
How has your relationship with Rodgers evolved from the start and now to where it is today? How can you walk me through that, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I think it's just like anything. You know, I think we know each other. I think there's a lot of trust and love and respect for one another. Not to say that we don't have our differences, just like anybody else. That certainly happens from time to time. But I think just the level that we communicate, we're always able to, you know, be on the same page, and like I said, there's such a mutual respect for one another.
What would the a difference be? Like, what? And obviously, it's resolvable, clearly. But just walk me through what a loggerhead moment with Rodgers would look like or sound like.
Well, it could be anything, right? It could be just in terms of how, you know, you're implementing a game plan, or you know, there might be a certain play that I really want to run, but if he doesn't feel comfortable with it, why would I put him in that position? Mm-hmm. So he generally wins the arguments.
Yes, indeed. I hear you. But I guess, you know, it seems like you're more attuned to each other than ever before. That's what it looks like when you're watching a game with you guys together.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think just, you know, a lot of it is just in the preparation that we put in on a weekly basis, and, you know, being in all the meetings with him. So we have great dialogue, great communication, and, you know, you get a good sense for what he likes. And then, you know, in game, just that communication and being able to adjust if we need to if we need to adjust.
Matt LaFleur here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let me just give you the general, I guess, wisdom. I don't know if it's conventional or otherwise, or the conversation based on Green Bay's end game this past year, and bounce it off you. The general sense is the offense that you are running with Rodgers at the helm is not equipped to win games when it's snowing and it's 10 degrees outside, and that you would be better off playing in a warmer climate that clearly will never happen by having home field advantage. How do you respond to something that's put forth like that, Matt LaFleur?
Well, I think everybody is probably a little emotional about the last game, you know, and it still hurts. It still stings. But I think one thing you always got to do is recognize your past and try to learn from each and every situation. And, you know, you got to give the team, the San Francisco 49ers, a lot of credit. That we knew that was going to be a tough game regardless. I mean, they're such a great defense and a very physical football team. I don't think myself, more so than anybody, did their job to the standard that we'd like to do it at. And anytime you don't perform to your expectation, I think that leaves rooms for people to criticize. And I guess that's going to be the narrative, and we're going to have to do something about it and prove people wrong.
Do you think the criticism is anywhere remotely close to the neighborhood of valid, though, Coach?
I do not, but it is what it is. I mean, that's just everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and you know, it's up to us to do something about it and prove people wrong. And until we do, that will be the narrative.
Please tell me that when Debo made it known he wanted to be traded, you called Kyle Shanahan and asked if you could have him. Please did tell me you did that, Matt LaFleur.
I did not call Kyle Shanahan.
Oh man, I thought that was an opportunity.
I did not. You did. No. Nope.
Okay, so
I've been on the other end of that call before.
Yeah, I've heard that story. So you didn't take that opportunity? That opportunity
no,
was not there?
I'm not going to say any that Goody didn't call.
Okay.
But certainly I did not make that call.
Okay. Just had to ask you that question. So when you're in a draft room and you're late in the first round and you know the free football world is waiting to see you draft a wide receiver, and then you take two defensive players, and that's absolutely not giving the full scope of the defensive players you took and the program from which you took them and the championship quality with which they play. But what happened on draft night that night for you guys?
Well, I think you saw it. I mean, a lot of those wide receivers went earlier, and there was a big run. And I don't think you can just – obviously, we knew we had a need for wide receiver. But you can't force the issue. And I thought Goody did a great job of, you know, just being patient, knowing that there were some other guys out there that we were very intrigued with and, you know, ultimately took the best player, in at least from our board – and we feel like we got better with those two guys. So I was super excited about it. I think as long as you're adding really good football players, and not only great football players, but good people to your organization, I think there's a lot of reason to be excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, Quay Walker, who is terrific. I love Wyatt a lot. And obviously, you know, with Kenny Clark there, and you can move Clark around. As you know, I'm a big Michigan guy, so you have in Rashawn Gary. I love watching him play and blossom as well. You could do a ton of stuff with the defensive players you got, but walk me through the wide receivers, if you don't mind, and what you think they can do. You took two kids in the first few rounds. What do you think they can do, and how quickly you think they can make an impact for you this fall?
Well, shoot, we hope they can impact very quickly, but you know, Christian Watson, obviously, he's big, he's fast, he's physical. Got a chance to see him this past weekend with our rookie camp. So we had them in, I should say, last weekend. And, you know, he's a really impressive guy, not only just in terms of his physical ability, but just how he goes about his business, how he was able to pick up our playbook pretty quickly. I want to be careful about, you know, giving all these expectations about what he's going to go out there and do, because ultimately, you know, he's he's really young, and he's got a lot to learn, and he's got to go through an off season and with us, and then we'll have a better idea. But I think just when you look at his skill set, it is pretty impressive. Just what he's able to do is just a very big, explosive athlete. And then when you talk about Romeo Doubs, again, another guy that is, you know, he's 6'2", 205. He's a well-built guy. He's got really good speed. He showed extremely aggressive hands, not only through the draft process, but this past weekend. So those are two guys that we're pretty excited about and just adding to our rotation. And then the last guy we drafted in the seventh round, Samari Torrey, he's another guy that just is a pretty physically gifted, that a versatile receiver that we could put inside in the slot or put him outside. He's got some really good athletic body movements that resemble kind of like a basketball player, and that's something we always kind of look for in a wideout, and their ability to separate. So those are three young guys that we're really excited to add to the mix of some of the vets that we have.
Did Rodgers give his 2 cents on the wide receiver position going into the draft to you guys?
Yeah, you know, we talked to him about it, and I think there's certainly a lot of trust on his part, and that we are going to go try to get the best players available. And you know, we feel like we did that for given the circumstances.
Okay. And then last one for you here, with all the quarterback movement that we saw in March and the, you know, Rodgers staying put, a lot of us assumed Jordan Love would be on the move. Somebody would call for you, and like Rodgers is at least going to be there, we assume, for the next couple of years, and which take you to past Love's contract. Any thoughts of that at all?
You know, those are decisions that I don't make, and I'm glad I don't have to make them, Rich. So those are great questions for Goody, though. You got to get him on the show
okay.
with me.
All right, let's do that. I'd be happy to do that.
I would love to hear his answer.
That's another guy whose door I've been knocking on. So we gotta hopefully he answers that. Coach, I appreciate the time. Thank you so very much. Let's do this more often. If you are up for it, so would I. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I just want to get out there because you're out in L.A., correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's a chair right here if you'd like to do it. Okay. When are you coming?
You got to do it in the wintertime, though.
Well, I mean, that would be a problem for you, though. You want to be where you want to...
You know what I mean. Winter lasts till like April
okay.
here, so...
Yeah, sure. Okay. You're welcome here anytime, man. Come on out here. We'll have a good time. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Right back at you. That is Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay.
It's going to be 90 degrees here on Saturday. 90.
Oof.
Can you believe that? Maybe
this is great because
Matt wants to make a quick trip.
We did. You did the traffic in the first hour.
I did.
And then there's the weather.
Hey, everybody. Weather on the one.
And I'm the weather guy for the show.
I should get Goody on. He'd love to know the answer to that question. Jordan Love.
Yeah, a lot of people would, right?
Okay.
I just like that Goody, because remember, for a while, I could not say that guy's name.
Gutekunst.
Yeah, and I've worked on it.
Goody.
Now I'm just going to call him Goody.
Just call him Goody.
Shake your Goody.
Gutekunst.
I mean, what to make of all that, man? Devontae surprised him.
Yeah, that was a little shocking.
I agree with saying that Rodgers knew, and Rodgers told McAfee that surprised him. Everything I heard is that it was obvious that Devontae Adams not coming back.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get paid last year. He was made to play this year, and he wasn't happy about that.
I get it.
Well, remember that Brady said that 90% of what he said was not really what he was thinking.
Know.
So maybe
he just
Aaron...
told me to blow smoke up my butt, which is very appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, pause. That was interesting.
Okay. Maybe Aaron has that same subscription. I don't know.
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. There's an umpire pissed at my wife. We'll take that phone call when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. The Rogue Callaway Rogue ST driver is available for you to go get and bomb with. And by bomb, I mean hit the crap out of the golf ball. Because you will succeed if you use a Callaway new Rogue ST driver. It's Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. And there's one that suits your game. Guarantee you that. Now, my game isn't very good. So if I want more forgiveness off the tee, and that I definitely want, and some distance to go along with it, there is the Callaway Rogue ST Max. Incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. If you want a dedicated draw model to help more shape your shot a little bit more, there's the Max D. If you want something more low spin, the Max LS gives you stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. If you're one of those true players out there, who are you? I don't want to play with you. You're going to take my money. The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the one for you. Compact, low spin head. Tour players love it. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go rogue. Find your Callaway Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue.
Did you order Klaus for Coop? I meant to ask you.
Not yet.
I'm just going to ask you on the air because I keep forgetting.
I know that.
Can you please get Klaus for Coop?
I will do that. I will do that. Let me make a note of that. Our
sorry,
son,
I know you're doing a national show.
Our son needs to go rogue.
Housekeeping.
Coop needs to go rogue. A lefty set, obviously, because he's a left-handed pitcher, as we've established over the last couple of days. And yesterday, this strike zone on him got squozen. That was my way of complaining about the umpires. Susie finally lost it and said the ump sucked. And that has caused Joe in Houston to call into the program. What's up, Joseph?
Nothing much, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
And, you got it.
I'm going to do some props to Susie. I didn't know how young you were, but you don't look the age that you said you were. So I'm going to give you props on that one. So you look very beautiful. It's nice to have both of you on here.
How about that strike zone, huh?
You are a great ump.
Rich is sitting right here. He's right here.
It's okay. It's okay.
And then I'm going to say that I hope that you send these in for the Emmy next year because these two segments have been great.
Thank you.
I want to say that is worth it. These two are a little bit better than the Price is Right deal. I'm sorry, DJ. But I think this is a little bit better. But anyway, I was going to say that. I'm going to defend my fellow umps. I know it's hard to get back there, and 50% of the people are going to like what we call, and 50% of people aren't going to like what we call. But anytime, I recommend this for every coach out there to have every parent that has a person in either baseball or softball to have a parent get back behind the plate, and you calls and strikes for a batter and see what it's like to be back there. Although I would never throw either one of you out, because if your son's throwing a no-hitter, I sure as heck wouldn't want you to miss that. I'll send you out to the outfield, left field, or right field.
No,
and if your son or daughter hits a home run, that's what I would be. Well, it's the umpire's fault. He kicked me out, and I didn't get to see you hit that home run. No, I don't want that on.
We're making a little bit light of it. I mean, we're not barking at the umpire. We would never do anything like that. You know, it's just that my son, you know, he wasn't pitching a no hitter, and part of the reason was the guy who should have been struck out got a hit. So that's the, you know, that's the way we were viewing it. You know, but
yeah. But Joe, I have a question for you. May I, Rich?
Yes,
may I?
Please go.
Hi, Joe. So here's my question. What happens when you have a strike zone and the pitcher is trying a nuanced pitch and he paints the corner and it's called a strike once, but then the same pitch is
called
a ball?
Where does the inconsistency come from?
My whole issue, and I'm grateful for all of you who call these games. Without you, we wouldn't have games to play. So thank you. That's one. But to me, team sports for youth is about showing them that consistency is rewarded. So I get frustrated when the umps aren't consistent.
Well, all I can say is that people ask me about my strike zone, and I say I'm consistently inconsistent. But I'm going to say is that we miss them. You know, I grade myself. I'm probably the hardest grader of pitches. Whenever I do girls fast pitch softball, if I miss a pitch, then, you know I missed the pitch, and I should have given it to the either to the batter or to the pitcher. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, but I don't try to make up for it. I just try to say, hey, I'll watch that. Especially when it, you know, the way that baseball and softball are is that, you know, you got to give the black because it's only fair to the pitcher. And sometimes I miss it. And I'll be honest, I miss it. So, you know, I try to do the best that I can. And, you know, if it's inconsistent, well, all I can say is that I hope I'm inconsistent on both sides of the field, so that way the other side gets the same inconsistency. But, you know, I try to work at it. I try to get back there and do the best that I can. But I'm human and I miss. So, you know, it's just happened.
Joe, thanks for the call, brother.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. There you go. There's Joe in Houston. We have just ejected him from the Rich Eisen show.
I did the Joe West for you, right?
You're out of there.
Let's get to the news update right here on the Rich Eisen show. And everyone on hold, stay on hold. We will definitely take your phone calls before the end of this show. We're in the middle of hour number three. Here's the news with Suze.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, it's
Susie Schuster.
So Brockman's like, come on, man.
He's like, let me back in the chair.
Can we get back in?
As dirty and gross as it is. But. All right, guys. Former Jaguars kicker Josh Lambeau filed a lawsuit, this is according to ESPN, against the team on Tuesday, alleging that former head coach Urban Meyer created a hostile work environment and that the team did nothing about it, Rich, saying that he kicked him, violated the Florida civil criminal and employment law concerning assault, battery, and workplace violence in furtherance of an employer's interest. He is saying that he was abused and that the Whistleblower Act was not used properly. Mm. Thoughts on that?
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
As if the Urban Meyer hiring could not get any worse for the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's now a lawsuit. And look, I feel for Josh Lambeau. I do, man. Kickers have such a tough gig. We all do in the NFL. You know, all players do. And again, Josh said that Urban Meyer kicked him and called him a dip S and told him to make his effing kicks. And Lambeau went back at him, and Urban responded by saying that this is the only time he's ever let a player talk to him that way, and if he did it again, he would get rid of him.
The lawsuit alleges, by the way, extreme emotional and mental distress. He's saying that he owes back pay, damages, and legal fees. He did receive his full $3.5 million salary in 2021.
Here's what I'll say. I don't know the legal aspect of this, but all I know is maybe he's suing the wrong entity. Maybe he should sue the coach. You know, sue the guy that was creating that environment. And I understand, I guess there's work and labor laws. I'm not too deep into it. But we had Doug Peterson on just about an hour ago. And I asked him if he thought part of his job was being a healer. Which, you know, I've never asked of a coach that's come in after any coach has been fired. Like Urban Meyer. But everything that Urban Meyer was fired for and about led to the question. And this was the answer from Doug Peterson earlier on the program.
I agree with that. I do. I think there's a part of that. I know this is professional football, but listen, it's also life too. And these kids and the people that are here have families outside of this business and this organization, obviously. And I think part of, you know, the healing process is the best we can to flip the script and to try to gain the trust, you know, of these players. And so I do agree with that. I do agree that there is some level of healing that has to take place. And it has taken place and is taking place. But, you know, we're not where we need to be, obviously, right now. And we're gonna continue to work at that.
I've never heard a coach say that about the situation he's entering for. And that's how bad it was. Now, Meyer has denied what Lambeau is accusing him of doing. And the Jacksonville Jaguars say that their legal counsel in response saying that they offered to speak with Josh or assisted Josh in speaking. Any suggestion otherwise is blatantly false, said the Jaguars in a statement to the Tampa Bay Times. Jaguars legal counsel indeed acknowledged and responded immediately to the query made by Josh Lambeau's agent on Friday, August 27th, 2021, which is when he got kicked. So normally I reserve this for coaches when they say something that they really can't say, but I'm going to reserve it for now. The Jaguars legal staff, go ahead.
What were they really thinking?
Josh, we just signed a guy to a long-term contract for $10 to $12 million a year, and we didn't see him kicking you coming. We didn't see anything that he did coming. We didn't see him staying over in Cincinnati and winding up in his hometown bar and getting stuff tweeted out. We didn't see anything coming. We saw none of that coming. We kind of hoped it would all work out. We're sorry you got caught up in this whole damn thing. But Urban Meyer was such a complete and unmitigated disaster. He was supposed to be the CEO head coach. He was supposed to be the guy to bring in the culture. He was supposed to be the guy to bring that winning spirit here. And he was so none of that. It took us a little while to get rid of him, and we're sorry we got caught up in that whole damn thing. But maybe you should be suing him. Can a coach get sued for kicking somebody and for being such a complete charlatan? Can that guy get sued? I don't know. Maybe he could be the first there. Again, I know I'm running afoul of labor law and things like that. I have no idea. But I heard this and I'm like, you're suing the wrong guy. You know, Jaguars got caught up in this whole damn thing more than anything else. I don't know. How many will Urban Meyer engender more lawsuits than he had wins with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Will that be the final accounting of his incredibly disastrous tenure with Jacksonville, that he and the team will wind up in litigation about paying him out, and Josh Lambeau is now suing the team? So that's potentially two lawsuits, and I think he had two wins. So there you go.
Do you think, Rich?
Or he had one win. Did he ever see it? The one win.
Yeah.
That's it. So he might have more. He have more lawsuits than wins.
I'm just with a dumb.
Yeah, I'm just figuring that stuff out right here.
Do you think the Urban Meyer debacle and demise is the biggest I didn't see that coming in the history of coaching? In terms of when he got the job, like, Urban Meyer, this will be interesting.
Yeah.
Did you ever see anything like this before?
The only thing that to equate it, and then we'll get to the rest of your news, since I think this has been covered ground by me a little bit. And by the way, Jaguars, I appreciate you bringing me Doug Peterson on this show earlier, is Bobby Petrino in Atlanta. when he came from Louisville and he was a winning coach there, and he was so awful and dreadful, and then left in the middle of the season, got out. It's like, yeah, this isn't for me. He got out of his own volition. This was the only thing that it can equate this to is that. So more lawsuits than wins. How about that? What else do you have over there, Suze? I think there's a U-turn coming, so go for it.
This is a U-turn. It's a shank. John Eckert, a gentleman in Kansas City, Missouri,
yes,
had a disastrous fantasy situation.
Okay.
So last fall, he finished last.
In his football fantasy league?
In his fantasy football, he finished last.
Okay.
The Shiva League. Questions about that already. He would have to.
Is that really what he called it?
The Shiva League.
Well, that's a reference to our friend, the league. That's,
is it?
Yeah, that's Schaefer show.
Oh,
okay.
It's a Jeff Schaefer reference. Then it's okay.
Yes.
He would have to play as a local qualifier in the U.S. Open. So he did. This kid, Eckert, who is 26 years old.
Yes.
He played in the Oakwood Country Club in mm-hmm. Kansas City, Missouri, finished in last place. Carding a 40 over 112, which is 40 strokes behind the winners.
Oh,
that is
car.
A hot mess.
Oh, my God. He had a 10 on the par 4, 407 yard.
Oof. I'd do better
the
than
fourth
that.
Hole. So wait a minute. He doubles for the first, doubles the second, triples the third, the par 3 tripled. Then he, what do you call 6 over on a hole? I don't even know if there's a word for it.
A hot mess.
A hot mess. He pars the par 5 fourth, then he's bogeying par, quadruple bogey. Oh, my God. This is outstanding. How many snowmen do you see on the screen? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 eights and a 10.
Oof.
This is the best quote. He said he topped his first shot, his first tee with a 3-wood. His ball landed about 20 yards behind a tree in the rough. He said, at that moment, I knew it was going to be a struggle.
Oh, my God.
Is that the moment? Really?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Is that the moment you knew that this is going to be a struggle?
Kudos to this fantasy league.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So you lose, you finish in last. You had to participate in a U.S. Open qualifier. Bring your sticks and your shame. And, oh, my God, a 40 over? Is that what he was? He was 40 shots over?
Yeah, he's apparently awaiting a letter from the USGA letting him know that he can no longer compete in these events because of his high score.
That letter must be framed and brought out at every future draft of this fantasy league. Kudos
absolutely
to these individuals. Well done. Oh, my gosh. Spoiler alert, didn't make the cut.
That's a fantastic.
Fantastic.
Way to.
All right. I like these news items.
Are we really doing the third item?
Let's take a break, and
okay.
We'll do that.
Because I think one needs its own.
I saw
it
this.
It needs to be aired
story.
Out, if you will.
Ah, very good.
Ooh. Thank you. Well,
very good.
Wait a second.
I don't know that. Yeah, you have no idea what's coming.
I do not.
Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, on our terrestrial radio outfit, back on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, right here on Peacock, ignite your movie night with Firestarter, based on the Stephen King masterpiece and starring Zac Efron. Catch it in theaters and streaming only on Peacock May 13th. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up. One person who will not be watching this, and I understand that that's the wrong thing to say when we're on Peacock and we're promoting something on Peacock. is our daughter, who asked us if she could see that the other day.
Yep. There's a huge billboard on the way to school.
And it's a little girl.
Yeah.
And so she sees.
Can I watch that?
Thinking it's about fire, you know? But we remember the Drew Barrymore original.
Yeah.
And we probably can assume what this is on Peacock.
Yes.
And I think it was the battle of which one of us could say no faster.
We can assume that she won't be watching.
I think we harmonized on that no.
That, no.
We
no,
were literally no, like no, we're like no. we're like no, no. We're like actually it was one of those quick no.
No,
it looks good. It looks like the original here.
But there are lots of wonderful things for you to watch, Taylor, on Peacock.
On Peacock, for sure. For sure.
Can we get in one more crazy story?
Sure. Go for it.
Not, I don't want to say, like, speaking of Taylor, but...
Oh, God. So it's this one last news item. Go for
this
it.
This is one last one that I
you definitely didn't
have
see this
to
story,
share
TJ.
With TJ.
Yeah.
TJ.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, don't direct this at him.
No, it's just, what do you think of this one?
We're just chopping it up.
Okay.
We're just talking.
Careful about what we're about to chop up.
Oh, no. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
So the Brazilian defender, Marcelo, he might say Marcelo. I speak Italian, so I'm saying Marcelo, but he is Tanzanian. That's a whole different conversation. Last August, he was dropped from his Lyon team.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't understand why. He's 34. He wasn't playing great. Turns out we found out why he was dropped from his football club.
Okay.
He was dropped because he was farting and laughing in the dressing room too much. That's why he was dropped. He was caught laughing.
This is a real tweet. This is a
real
story.
During Leo Dubois, his captain's speech to rally the troops after a game, and his manager, Peter Bose, did not like that. He also apparently was repeatedly farting in the clubhouse and in the dressing room and laughing about it. I think that's grounds for dismissal. What do you think, TJ?
What?
This
the
is
man
real.
Has flatulence.
This is a real story.
He has gas. He could have an upset stomach. We don't know what he's been eating.
As you know, if this was grounds for dismissal in the NFL, Von Miller would have been gone a very long time ago.
If that was grounds for dismissal from this show, then our audio guy might not be here, right?
No, that is BS.
Wow.
More as a joke occasionally.
Laugh or do you pass gas?
Yeah,
in
which
the
one
studio,
is it?
Mike?
Oh, no. It's more for laughing. It's more comic.
I find nothing funny about
it's
it.
Fine. Yeah. It's comic amusement.
I think it would be a totally different conversation.
But I will say.
And
I
potential work environment over there right now.
Violation.
For Brockman in the seat as opposed to Susie. No, I mean.
Yeah, he wouldn't dare do it with you there, Susie.
I mean, it's been a clinch fest all week.
You can get let go for having gas?
He was dropped from the first team. Yep. Then he was expelled. Not good.
For that.
Not good. For flatulence and laugh. Well, first of all, if you lose, the last thing you want to do is be the captain of a team and you're giving a speech trying to rally the guys.
Uh-huh.
And some guy's laughing in the background.
Yeah, that'll undercut you.
That's out of control.
And then on top of it.
You're hearing.
But to drop a bomb on top
of it. Right. You know what? Oh, God. You don't need to do that. I was about to say, you know, the cut was because it.
The cheese?
No. Hold on a minute. Because this happened last summer, and we didn't learn about it till now.
So
one would say that this firing was silent, but deadly for this player.
Where's your music? Where's your drop?
He's got nothing.
Something.
Where's
he's
the
got
hoop?
Nothing.
Rich.
See, that's
yeah, that's when you pick
Rich,
it up and
Rich,
drop.
That's the mic drop. Right
do
there.
A reset. Get the music ready.
No, it's okay.
Glasses, no?
Oh, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, yeah, we can.
Can't.
Okay.
It's the Who song.
We so can't. You can pretend. Do it. Let's do it. Okay. There you go.
So one would say that firing was silent but deadly.
Yeah!
Or you could do a Bob Costas, you might say.
You might say.
You could go a lot of different directions.
All I know is this, and then we'll take
I'll add it for Twitter because we can
we'll take some phone calls to end the show. All I'm saying is I would love a camera in the writer's room of Ted Lasso. When this story broke.
Oh right.
I'm going to send this to Bill Rubel right now.
This has to be.
Next season.
Okay.
I think, unfortunately, though, they shot out the season. Or are they shooting it now?
No, they're still shooting in London right now.
This has to be brought to the attention of the writers of Ted Lasso. That somebody was released, if you will, from their football club because they laughed in the middle of an important speech being delivered by a team captain. That does sound like something in Ted Lasso.
Who would it be? Who would it be? Like
Jamie Tartt would be laughing at something. It's something that anybody would be saying.
He can't get another.
But
job.
As you know, his character has grown.
Jamie might have grown up.
I think so. Point. That's more of a season two storyline.
Yeah, and plus you're saying the laughing, but you're overlooking the biggest part of it, was the pooting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Alan Dallas, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sorry for that entree, Al. What's going on?
That's my lead-in. I haven't spoken to Susie in God knows how long, and this is how you this is how you bring me into the
phone. Hiya, Al.
Well, I mean, it's just the way things go.
How are you?
It's just the way things go. I mean, you watch the news sometimes where they're showing you, they're talking about some sort of awful story, and then like, and meanwhile, in the National Zoo, here's a new panda. You know, like that happens all the time. You know, better than that.
The news that's been shocking, that's just rippling through the whole world, is nice. That Mr. and Mrs. Eisen are those parents at baseball games.
Would thunk it.
We are not.
And the other shocking news, which you make light of, and I'm shocked at this. I'm very surprised. That guy who did that, lost that bet.
Yes.
You know how many problems that causes? It happens a lot for these poor guys that are trying to qualify. I hate to be this guy because I know some of these guys.
Okay.
That jams up the whole day. It's shocking that the USGA would even allow them to come through like that. But it's awful when the guys do that. It's really bad. For
oh,
them.
Really?
You're
going to be that guy, Al?
I'm trying to qualify and I got to get paired with this Jamoke.
That's true. So he's,
you know, they're trying to put food on the table, Richard.
He's probably paired. That's an interesting point. So he's probably paired with somebody who's trying to make it, and they're standing there waiting.
Probably.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Because they lie. Because you can lie. But all you have to do is create a false index. You have to be like at least a -2 or no, +2 to qualify.
Right. Right.
For those.
So this guy's lying and he gets, oh boy, and here I am.
Yeah, this guy's trying to grind. It's happened to buddies of mine. You know, where they get these guys that are out there just, you know.
Okay.
It's crazy.
All right, Al.
Richard, yeah, I mean, I just want to see a little more positivity from you, man. Let's go. Come on.
Okay. Wow, Al, sounds way good. To bring it down.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
you did use Rich's favorite word, Jamoke.
Sorry, Susie. I haven't spoken to you in so long.
Hi, Al.
You've been doing a great job.
Well, thank you. But you did use Rich's favorite word, Jamoke.
Jamoke is
the word, Jamoke.
Well, we're
brother. We're brothers from another.
Yeah, we are definitely.
That is a lead-in for you, by the way.
Thanks for the call, Al. Call back tomorrow and kill our buzz tomorrow. Very good. That's Al. In Dallas, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of our favorites. Well, that's a good point, though. Somebody's trying to make the cut at the Open, trying to qualify, and then you're waiting. You need to get moving, and somebody's chopping broccoli off to the right on his ninth shot.
Chopping broccoli.
You know.
Meanwhile, poor Rich. He made fun of some guy with pneumonia. Tom, right? Tom.
I don't remember.
And then Al gives him a whole world of grief.
It's all right.
Well, it was more like the first guy we thought was kind of hitting on you, so we didn't.
It's okay. It's okay. It's all about perspective. I got to work in one piece today.
Barely.
I know.
It's barely.
It's great. I got to work in
one piece. Oh, my God. How am I supposed to drink my coffee while I'm driving if I'm not holding
the mug? Placing it in a cup holder with the hands on 10 and 2, and then when you are at a red light, you're like, okay, here's my little caffeine burst. Pop, and then go back and drive.
It's a long drive.
Yeah, like you can't, there's no red lights on the 405.
No.
Like you're on there. You're going. Like
I was only going 80.
Okay.
We were in the electric lane.
Yes, very good. Very good. That'll wrap it up for this show. We'll take you to our next show on Peacock in a moment.